donate, and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All righty, we are back. And, you know, folks, people in Japan very rarely ever protest. You don't hardly ever see a protest in Japan. But they're protesting now, and they've got a very good reason, and you'll find that it's, we're going to play here in the Reese Report. So go ahead and break that up.
The U.S. government is bankrupting the economy and igniting a third world war while flooding the border with single military-aged men. The media continues to divide us along party lines with another rigged election, while Hollywood tries to goad the people into a second civil war. And while this is all happening, humanity is being slow-killed with technologies that only serve to isolate and track us. 9 years ago, hundreds of scientists were warning us of the dangers of cell phones and 5G radiation.
I'm Dr. Martin Blank from the Department of Physiology and Cellular Biophysics at Columbia University. We are scientists and engineers, and I am here to tell you we have created something that is harming us, and it is getting out of control. The incidence of fatal brain cancer in younger people has more than tripled. We are putting cellular antennas on residential buildings and on top of hospitals where people are trying to get well. It's particularly frightening that radiation from our telecommunication and power line technology is damaging the DNA in our cells. The time to deal with the harmful biological and health effects is long overdue. We are really all part of a large biological experiment without our informed consent.
And things have only gotten worse. Millions have been murdered with a mandated mystery injection, which has debilitated even more and infected the living with nanotechnologies that are linking us with machines. An artificial intelligence grid is being built around us, and the people have never been more divided. And if we fail to unite, the future of humanity is destined to be grim. In Ronald Reagan's famous 1987 speech, he referred to an alien threat that could unite humanity.
I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world. And yet, I ask you, is not an alien force already among us?
And regardless of what he was referring to 37 years ago, that alien threat is here today. It is the anti-human artificial intelligence that humanity is giving birth to.
Sentient artificial intelligence, far beyond human beings. You give it 1,000 years alone to make better and better versions of itself. Where does that go? That goes to a god. It literally can create universes.
But what kind of god? So, like, I think of it this way. So the first stage of the Industrial Revolution consisted of people building machines that were stronger than the human body.
Right.
Right? So the steam-powered loom.
Sure.
The backhoe.
Combustion engine.
They replace muscles.
Right.
Right. So that's what the machine does. It becomes stronger than the human body. The second stage, which we're in the middle of, consists of creating machines that are more powerful than the human mind. That's what computing is. And I would say AI or supercomputing is just that exponentially.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make it a god in the sense that the machine, however powerful it is, any more than a backhoe is a god, mm-hmm. because it can dig a trench faster than 100 men, it's still something that people created. So the story hasn't really changed. At the center of the story are people, and their creative power may lead to unintended consequences, but the machines that they build did not make the universe and did not make people. People made the machines.
Right.
So I would say the part I agree with is there's a spiritual component here for sure. People will worship AI as a god. AI, Ted Kaczynski was likely right, will get away from us. We will be controlled by the thing that we made. All those are bad. Like, that's just bad. And we need to say unequivocally, it's bad. It's bad to be controlled by machines.
Right.
Machines are helpmates. Like, we created them to help us, to make our lives better, not to take orders from them. So I don't know why we're not having any of these conversations right now. We're just acting as if this is like some kind of virus, like COVID, that just spreads across the world inexorably. There's nothing we can do about it. Just wait to get it. It's like, no. If we agree that the outcome is bad, which – and specifically it's bad for people, we should care what's good for people. That's all we should care about. Is it good for people or not? if it's bad for people, then we should strangle it in its crib right now.
Right.
And one is blow up the data centers. Like, I don't, why is that hard? If it's actually going to become what you just described, which is a threat to people, humanity, life, then we have a moral obligation to murder it immediately. And since it's not alive, we don't need to feel bad about that.
Well, you could say the same about the atomic bomb, right?
Yes, you could. Everybody I've ever talked to, and there's many people, are like, yeah, it's, you know, could get away from us and enslave us. Well, let's say no to slavery. How's that? Is that a tough one? Not for me.
Yeah.
I mean, and maybe a good use of nuclear weapons would be to hit the data centers. No, I'm serious. Like, why is that crazy?
Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
All right. That's a good question, you know, when you talk about it, because that's right. I mean, the enemy is among us.
You know. Well, you got the problem of China or any other country developing these technologies that could destroy us in warfare or through covert warfare or through...
They all have them now. I mean,
right. So what we need is politicians who can create regulations that will prevent things like with the high schoolers taking pictures of
each other. Need a president, the legitimate president back in the White House, one that the people actually did elect, okay?
Agreed.
You've got an article there. Tell us about it.
This is the Gateway pundit Joe Hoft confirmed. It was all a setup. New evidence affirms previous TGP reporting that Deep State sent documents to Mar-a-Lago to set up Trump. FBI agents spread documents from Mar-a-Lago on the floor during their raid on President Trump's home. President Trump shared last week that he believes the FBI stole his will. The FBI also stole 1,800 other items that were not documents that belonged to President Trump. This was not lawful or necessary. It is also widely known at this point that Joe Biden, who ordered the FBI access to Trump's documents at Mar-a-Lago and President Trump's personal belongings. On pages 2 and 3 of the ruling, Judge Cannon revealed that it was Joe Biden who ordered the FBI access to the Mar-a-Lago documents and President Trump's personal belongings. This was despite the Biden regime insisting they had nothing to do with the raid. In September 2022, Joe Hoft at the Gateway Pundit reported that Chris Wray's FBI created a fake crime scene at Trump's home by adding their own documents to the scene and doctoring at least one photo. The FBI created the crime scene, inserted their own documents, and then photoshopped the document. At the bottom of the photo provided to the court there is the number 2A, indicating that this was a crime scene photo as well as a type of tape measure across the bottom of the photo. The corrupt FBI threw the photos on the floor themselves. They staged this. We know this because the containers were right next door. The documents would have been placed on a table had the FBI wanted to take a picture of the documents. Showing them as scattered across the floor is for show to indicate they were found this way, a lie we explain below. Also, the cabinets are right next to the documents, which is likely where they were stored. They weren't stored on the floor. As the Gateway Pundit previously reported, Biden's corrupt FBI's raid on Mar-a-Lago was all a setup. We reported this when it happened. Now we have more evidence. It was all another setup from our totally corrupt Department of Justice and FBI. In November 2022, we reported at the TGP that the FBI set up President Trump and inserted documents at the Mar-a-Lago raid.
There you go. Well, we've known this all along. You had what they called the 30 dirty, the dirty 30. Those were 30 FBI agents that went in there. Now, when Trump's lawyers showed up, they said, we're here to just watch. We're not here to interfere. We're here just to observe what you're doing. And they wouldn't let them in.
Very concerned.
This is all being orchestrated by Joe Obama Biden. Joe Obama Biden is behind all of this. They have absolute positive proof that he's behind all of that. Okay.
Yeah, Julie Kelly, as she's written in World News Daily, has a little different take on it, that there had been a bunch of the documents that were stored, and Trump didn't have them, and that he was told to come and get them and come pick them up. And they went and got some of them, and, you know, they contacted the office. Here it was, the GSA had six pallets of items, boxes, stored in Virginia. And they said, oh, you know, we can't hold these. And they called Trump's office, said to have him come and get them. And so basically, you know, wait a minute. The FBI says GSA was holding large quantity of Trump's boxes and then ordered his team to come and pick them up, take them. You know, nothing funny there. And then this new judge, that Eileen Cannon, says this is a bombshell because there was all these new. There's a bunch of new documents that Jack Smith was fighting to keep them hidden, and now she's having all this stuff, these new documents, opened. So as we're getting there, Tom Fitton out of Judicial Watch said this was a complete government setup, and they're going to be filing some action from Judicial Watch. So this story is going to get going.
Well, Tom Fitton is one of them. That whole corrupt thing there in Arizona, where they went after Trump's people, these indictments, and Tom Fitton is one of those. And the whole total thing is a complete total scam. Everything that I played the attorney general and everything, you know how Karl Marx taught, always accuse the opposition of doing what you're doing.
Doing what you're doing, exactly.
And so that's exactly what happened.
Biden was collecting as a senator all this information he shouldn't have had access, got it when he was a vice president, stored it in unsafe places, everything he did. They accused Trump of doing the same old story.
Absolutely.
It's like sometimes I get tired of some of this stuff, like, gee, just change a name or two. It's the same story we've told over and over and over.
Well, Aaron's got an article.
One, we were just talking before we go on, the, you know, AI being fake stuff. There was a story they created online, and that AI priest was busy forgiving sins online till they got asked a strange question and said, yes, you can baptize the baby in Gatorade. And all of a sudden people went, what? Wait, something's wrong. And they started checking. And, yep, they had a Catholic priest online. Business Insider tells the story. And people were going to an online AI image Catholic priest for confession. Can't get any worse than that.
Well, maybe it can. Right now they're having an error.
Don't tell me that can get worse than talking to a computer-generated priest for confession. That's got to be bad.
Aaron's got an article. Go ahead, Aaron.
This is Patriot News Alerts by Christine Favolki. Trump attorney believes Democrats are using the courts against the GOP candidate because they can't beat him in the polls.
No kidding.
Former President Donald Trump's attorney, Alina Abba, believes her client is being prosecuted because Democrats can't beat him in the polls, Breitbart reported. Abba made these remarks from the steps of the New York State Supreme Court building in Manhattan, where Trump's hush money case is underway. Trump is juggling four separate cases while campaigning for the 2024 presidential election, and Abba told reporters this is no accident. The fact that we have two courts, not one, criminal and civil, being used against one man because they cannot beat him in the polls is a disgrace to the American judicial system. Isn't that the truth? The lawyer and spokesman for Trump said, the former president was the subject of a civil case brought in New York prior to his criminal trial. You should not have two teams of lawyers here today. You should not even be here today because he did nothing wrong. It is the epitome of a witch hunt, she told reporters. Abba slams the judge. Trump and his legal team have been forced into an unprecedented dilemma caused by several cases that cropped up only when he became a candidate for the 2024 presidential election. The first was a prosecution from Democrat New York Attorney General Letitia James in an attempt to bankrupt the former president. Abba said she had to make her way over from the New York court where Trump had to post $175 million bond. This was the penalty imposed after a civil court found him guilty of misrepresenting the value of his assets to obtain loans. New York Judge Arthur Engoron originally demanded $454 million in penalties despite the fact that the loans had long ago been paid off and no damage was done to any party. The judge accepted the lower bond amount on Monday following an appeal. During her impassioned remarks to reporters, Abba slammed Engoron for implying that Trump's money isn't green enough after the judge disputed the type of bond that was used. We wasted time, Abba said. The judge said he thought money market accounts go down under the account. He doesn't understand basic principles of finance, she charged. According to Forbes, these financial instruments indeed aren't subject to the ups and downs of the stock market. The broader issue, although Democrats may be cheering this effort to thwart Trump's presidential bid, Abba pointed out that these legal proceedings indicate a grave issue in the judicial system. I'm sick of coming in front of the press and saying this, but you have to, because you people need to understand what is going on, Abba said. God forbid you put an accounting thing in for legal counsel because they're afraid of 2024, the attorney charged. And you know what? They should be, because the American people are not stupid. They see what's going on, Abba added. Abba is correct. The Democrats are desperate, as Joe Biden has been trailing in the polls, even as USA Today celebrated the fact that Joe Biden is now at 44% support compared to Trump's 46. That lead is still quite significant considering what the left has thrown at Trump. As an incumbent against a candidate who already lost his re-election, Biden should be several points ahead of Trump, especially in light of his legal woes. However, the American people are smart enough to see through what is happening, and they certainly won't forget before November's election.
In the latest poll, show 49. Trump put 49 to his 44. So that...
it's all backfiring on him. Yeah. But the bottom line is, like she said, the political prosecutions and then the corruption of our judicial system.
Well, speaking of that, the major hush money witness reveals inconsistencies. That's right. The details of the case are very, very murky, to say the least. That the David Pecker, the former publisher of the National Enquirer tabloid, was recently grilled by Trump's lawyers and claimed that a 2018 FBI report contained inconsistencies. Well, yeah. I mean, just... unbelievable. However, in the recent testimony, Pecker claimed that the former president did thank him, and he said the FBI report was totally wrong. The FBI said just the opposite of what, and he was supposed to be one of their witnesses, okay? This cast doubt on the FBI's account and its investigation into the entire case. If such a detail wasn't correct, what else isn't correct? Moreover, Pecker's testimony in and of itself is littered, totally littered with inconsistencies. Here's more of Pecker's testimony. He goes on to say, according to David Pecker just testified that he's one who told Trump women might come to him with stories because Trump was such a popular bachelor who dated the most beautiful women. Apparently, Trump was just planning a campaign run. But Pecker and Cohen were the ones, okay, and then that's another story that talked, that came to him with this. There you go. I'm going to just, I'll end that because it's too lengthy. All right, here's another one that you have confirmed. Federal government giving voter registration forms to non-Christian
non-citizens.
Refugees, yeah. Go ahead, Joe.
Oh, I didn't. I knew what that story was. I don't know that I have that one right now.
Well, the federal government is giving voter registration forms to non-citizens. You know, there's nothing that this Biden regime does that's on the up and up. Nothing.
No,
nothing.
It's illegal aliens. They are not, you know, they're not immigrants. They're not all these other things they're called. They're illegal aliens. They're coming across illegally, breaking the law, and most of the time lying about who they are, having no ID, no, you know, proof of anything. So the first thing you did, remember the Fabian Socialists, clear back in the 1890s, said that they were going to create, bringing socialism, communism to the world. And words were going to be the weapon of this new warfare. By changing words and meanings, they would shift everything around, and that's how they would bring us down. So we started off with illegal aliens, then they're illegal immigrants, then they're immigrants, and now they're undocumented workers. I mean, they keep changing it all the time, right?
Right. According to South Carolina State
Representative... 100 years ago, we were told what they were going to do, and people still can't figure it out, Pastor.
According to South Carolina State Representative and Congressional Candidate Adam Morgan, the federal government is including voter registration forms in packets at the Social Security Office in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Is the federal government giving voter registration forms to non-citizens? Adam Morgan said on X, yes, at least in South Carolina, refugees sent us
refugees,
this form.
Refugees, see the word? There's another word for them, right?
Yep. And so in the packets that were given to her, in a packet that the Social Security office in Spartanburg, she asked, why are you giving these to non-citizens? And he said, attached to Adam Morgan's post was a photo of the voter registration form, including the welcome packet for refugees.
Now, wait a minute. See, the issue here, what is an illegal immigrant, illegal alien, doing at a Social Security office?
Well, you know,
they're not supposed to be able to get a Social Security ID because they're not a citizen. They be there in the first place. So why are they there? You know, the government's doing more dirty stuff.
We've got to restore legal immigration. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, well, that's what it's supposed to be for, legal people coming in doing citizenship. But this stuff is going into the hands of the illegals, the illegal aliens. And, the headline that I told you, there were three marshals shot, one policeman in critical. He died, so it's now four dead officers there in Charlotte, North Carolina.
All right, you know, and we don't condone that in any way, but again, what's happening is this this Gestapo, man, you know, there's this thing through the Bidens, and, you know, and they're going after Christians in so many cases. You know, January 6th is a perfect example of that. Those people...
Well, you know, you start with a heavy hand, and all of a sudden, like some people, the lawbreakers are going to start fighting back worse. And, everything in this country is getting crazier, more violent, more wicked by the day. I mean, you and I see it looking at the headlines. It just gets more lawless, more wicked, more violent. The people are getting angrier. They're being driven farther apart. And it's all by design. Remember, we've talked about this before. There are six sources of a downfall of a nation: fear, apathy, ignorance, avoidance, denial, and rejection of truth. And
alrighty.
Boy, every one of those is true right now.
Attorney Harmeet Dhillon
breaks
down fake charges brought by Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays against Trump 2020, alternative electors with radio host Garrett Lewis, and a conservative attorney and Republican Party official, Harmeet Dhillon, joined Tucson's radio host Garrett Lewis afternoon addiction last week to week to discuss the latest election interference lawfare against Republicans in Arizona. Dhillon represents GOP Arizona State Senator Jake Hoffman in fighting the bogus charges brought against 18 individuals by radical left Attorney General Chris Mays. Now, I played that tape of her, and I told people everything that she is saying is exactly that she is accusing Trump's people of doing is exactly what they are doing. And that's, again, that's right out of Karl Marx's playbook. Who stole the 2022 election by 280 votes from Trump-endorsed Abe Hamada. Hamada also discussed the Shem charges against Trump's electors and his ongoing lawsuit contesting the fraudulent election in an exclusive interview with a Gateway pundit last week. And so, and it goes on to say, I think, and I'll get to it. Lewis joining me now because this is what the radio program was saying. There were 11 people indicted yesterday. One of them is Senator Jake Hoffman. His attorney, Harmeet Dhillon, joins me now. What is your reaction to the fact that Chris Mayer's admitted on national TV that she'll do, whatever it takes to get Joe Biden reelected, and look at what happened to Jake Dhillon. Yay. Well, my reaction is, who is doing the election rigging here? Is it President Trump or the President Biden? Because it sure sounds like the timing of this prosecution was specifically for the purpose of trying to affect, in a positive way, Democrats' chances. Certainly with respect to the primary in Arizona that's coming up in weeks. And with that, the general election, because frankly, all the information that they needed to bring this frivolous and totally, completely fraudulent political-based indictment has been in the hands of these persecutors, in different states, thanks to January 6th committee, investigation in the House, and thanks to the likely coordination of all this between special counsel and the Biden regime, literally for years. So the fact is that they're bringing this almost 4 years after the fact is clearly an example of election rigging by the Democrats. And there you go.
Okay, I got a Christian News alerts by staff writers. Congress probes alleged government-ordered bank surveillance after January 6th.
We talked about some of that last week. Yeah, but go ahead, yeah.
In an unprecedented move, the House Select Subcommittee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government, led by Rep. Jim Jordan, has launched an investigation into the alleged collaboration between major U.S. financial institutions and federal agencies. The subcommittee's investigation casts a spotlight on potential infringements on Americans' privacy and civil liberties related to their financial transactions in the wake of the January 6, 2021 unrest, as the Daily Mail reports. Following the events of January 6th, at least 13 financial firms, including Bank of America, PayPal, and others, were implicated in these allegations, prompting this widespread congressional review. The institutions reportedly cooperated with various federal agencies, including the FBI and the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, also called FinCEN, to track transactions linked to so-called extremism markers like purchasing religious texts or using specific search terms. Unpacking collaboration between banks and the federal government, a memo from the U.S. Treasury issued shortly after January 6th had guided these institutions on how to flag potential extremism. This raised significant bipartisan concerns about the scope and legality of monitoring U.S. citizens based on their purchases, behavior, and political expressions. Further, the media revealed that the Biden administration sought to track these indicators through financial transactions, which involved data requests for weapons-related purchases and other suspicious activities. Bank of America became a focal point after it was reported that the bank handed over data concerning 211 individuals to federal authorities. This data was solicited based on specific keywords and markers identified by FinCEN and the FBI. However, these individuals were not subsequently linked to any criminal activity, bringing into question the validity and motives behind the surveillance. During a congressional hearing in February, U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen expressed her unawareness of these specific surveillance instructions, further complicated the issue. Her statement pledging a thorough examination of the Treasury's involved materials highlighted the administration's cautious stance on the matter. Concerns over privacy and civil liberties, Jordan has been vocal in pointing out the potential breach of privacy and civil liberties through this warrantless surveillance in his communication with financial institutions and federal agencies. Jordan stressed the dangers of profiling Americans not based on criminal conduct, but on political beliefs and expressions. This, he argues, could label individuals as domestic violent extremists unjustly. The ramifications of this surveillance are profound, touching on the delicate balance between national security and individual rights. The SAR, Suspicious Activity Report System, often a basis for such data collection, was supposedly manipulated to extract private information, sparking a debate about the federal oversight of the citizens' financial behaviors. This issue also extends to crowdfunding platforms like GoFundMe and Eventbrite, which are being scrutinized for potential abuses in the same vein as banks. The inquiry suggests that the scope of surveillance might be broader than just the banking sector. Legal and social implication of financial surveillance. The implications of these investigations are manifold, affecting trust between consumers and financial institutions, as well as potential legislative actions on privacy laws. As the investigation by the House Republicans continues, it remains to be seen how these findings will influence policymaking, particularly in terms of for financial privacy and federal surveillance powers. The subcommittee continued to send letters to financial institutions expressing concern over the extent of information sharing and surveillance practices that may categorize various transactional behaviors as suspicious or indicative of extremism. These communications emphasize the potential overreach of federal agencies into personal financial transactions and protected political and religious expressions. As this investigation unfolds, the balance between ensuring national security and protecting personal freedoms remains a key concern for policymakers, financial institutions, and citizens alike. Both sides of the political spectrum are calling for transparency and guidelines that respect individual rights while safeguarding the nation. So, reflecting on the scope of financial surveillance in the U.S., in conclusion, the ongoing investigation by the House Select Subcommittee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government's probes deep into the interactions between financial institutions and federal bodies. It highlights concerns over warrantless financial surveillance allegedly used to track American citizens based on political beliefs and other protected expressions. This investigation underscores the ongoing debate over privacy, civil liberties, and the role of government oversight in the post-January 6th landscape.
Alrighty, we will be back right after this with more. Every single day that happens, every single day, every night, between now and this time tomorrow night, a whole lot of people in this world will run out of tomorrows. And boy, I'm going to tell you, the tragedy is they don't have to. they're on a fast track to hell, and it doesn't have to be. But anyhow, we're going to take some calls. Let's go to Massachusetts with Jeff. Jeff, you're in the air.
Thank you, Pastor Sanders. Now, as far as January 6th prisoners is concerned, here's the thing. I care about them, you guys care about them, but here's the thing. Norm in Massachusetts don't care about January 6th. As far as Norm is concerned, Norm Sheeple American, January 6th are right-wing ickies. You know, who cares about them? They shouldn't have been at the protest. I got mine. I got my head in the beer can with my wife and girlfriend going to a Bruins game. That's it. And people will vote for the Democrats to keep their job and just go with the flow. And that's the majority in Massachusetts. This is why things don't change. Norm is the person that sits on the levers. If Norm doesn't move, nothing happens. That's it. The myth of the 3% winning is a total myth in my area. It's Norm. The only time that Norm will get off his behind is when hamburger is $50 a pound. By then, Norm will go from 0 to 60, and Norm will snap and go violent. I don't want to see that happen. You don't want to see that happen.
Well, Norm is the kind of guy that would blame us, would blame those Christians. He'll follow the lead in the fake news media.
You're right.
Yeah. And that's exactly
what... You're 100%
right, but go on. It's funny. It's ironic that you would use that because I used to have a guy named Norm who would call in. That was his name, Norm. He was a communist. And he would call in from time to time trying to espouse his palaver, his communist. And I would just nail him. And so finally he got so tired of being nailed that and we caught him in so many lies that... He quit calling.
Oh, well, that's good. But the Norm I'm talking about is just Norm American that gets his gospel off the 6 o'clock news.
Oh, I know that. I know that, yeah.
What?
Yeah, I know that, yeah. That's,
I mean, as far as Norm's concerned, a left wing's a kooks, right wing's a kooks. I vote for the Democrat to keep my job check, and that's it. Pastor, I thank you for having me on. God bless you, and do have a good one.
Thanks there, Jeff. We call your Norm. We call Joe Sixpack out here. But, yeah. You're right. All I care about is my Sixpack and heading down there watching the ball game and the heck with everybody else, right? So, anyhow, here's one, Joe. Chaos erupts at Michigan County meeting after a minister of the Satanic Temple named Louis Cipher delivers satanic invocation. Now, you know, the Democrats more and more are moving to Satanism as their religion. Chaos erupted in Michigan Tuesday Ottawa County Board meeting after Satanic Temple Minister Louis Cipher delivered a satanic invocation at the April 23rd meeting. They say you can watch it the entire meeting, you know, here. Satanist invocation was at 402 to is from 402 to 720. I've never heard an invocation that long, but the Republican-led board recently changed its policies to allow pastors to deliver the invocation instead of commissioners. So the Satanic Temple signed up and gave an invocation. The meeting descended into total chaos in the lobby as people chanted, "We love Jesus." But the massive crowd descended into protest as the people chanted and sang hymns, such as "Amazing Grace," put signs on the walls that said, "God always, Satan never," and "Satan has no rights." One man yelled, "Hail Satan," while the others yelled, "We love Jesus." The exchange remained verbal, but it did not escalate to physical violence. Again, I think you're going to see a lot more of that because, again, the entire Democratic Party is moving more and more towards Satanism. They're adopting it. They're going from the apostate church, United Church of Christ, and Episcopal, and that, which are virtually satanic churches, but, you know, these are right out in the open now. They've gone all the way.
And you're seeing more
symbols of Satan around. You're seeing more. There have been a lot of things online where people are dressing in more satanic outfits in a sexual nature. I mean, there's all kinds of things going on in all different parts of society. So it's happening in plain view, behind the scenes, especially in the, let's just put it this way, especially in the sexual realm. So there's a lot of crazy things going on, and that God told us this would be exactly what happens.
Yeah, I mean, it's, we're seeing 2 Timothy 3, we're seeing Romans 1, we're seeing this come to life, right? You know, I mean, we're there real time. This is it now. So we know that, I mean, people keep saying, how much worse can it get? I don't know how much worse it can get, okay? But I know these are the signs of the soon to be.
God gave his people free will. He said, if my people, Christians, who are called by my name, you know, repent. And that, you know, he's waiting for a nation to wake up and the church to realize it wasn't out running to the battle, fighting the fight. It wasn't doing what it was called to do. We might turn this around, because the only answer, the only thing that's going to save us is the Lord Jesus. We're not going to fix this.
I know. Breaking! Arizona Republican Party declares COVID-19 injections biological and technological weapons. Well, yeah, we did that back in 2019, right? Okay. Okay, so...
every once in a while we get it right. It's a... especially when it's quite a bit ahead of time. But, you know, going back to what you were just saying, something we did a long time ago, I want to remind people. Remember in the Lion King movie when Scar cheated to win the title as king, president, and the Pride Land, America, was overrun with the hyenas, communists, and all the lions lost everything they had built and maintained. All the conservatives lost everything they had built and maintained. Just asking, just wondering if you saw the movie, saw the analogy there. Something to think about, because it's a perfect analogy. What's going on, isn't it?
Well, let's not stay focused on all the negative. Do you agree? I mean, here in the great county of Geauga, do we have satanic temples? No. Glory to God.
Yeah, you do.
We do.
Yeah, it's called the United Church of Christ over there in Chester.
Well, they're apostate, but we don't have an actual satanic temple.
The pastor calls himself Satan.
Oh, come on. Seriously.
Seriously.
He did, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay,
well,
yeah, you do. So here's the positive things. We're bringing this stuff out. It's not being hushed up by the fake news media.
Yeah.
The very fact that we, all of this thing that's here is telling you that the return of the Lord is closer, much closer, very even at the doorstep. So that's the positive. Now, we got to take a fast call. Steve, you're the last call for today. Go ahead.
You guys are fantastic tonight, and I think I know someone named Norm. I'll leave that alone.
Yeah.
FDA, the WHO, and the CDC. The FDA is fools destroying America.
Yeah.
WHOs. I couldn't figure that one, so God gave me that one at the end. Where hell operates. But I like the CDC the best. That's exactly what they're doing us. CDC.
That was pretty good, yes.
CDC, confuse, divide, and conquer.
Conquer. And confuse, divide, and conquer.
Confuse, divide, and conquer. And that is what they're doing to us. And how Trump can get in where he's at for $113,000, something they call hush money, you take a state charge and you turn it into a federal charge, and the statute of limitations was gone, but let's put federal on it and keep it active. And when all hell breaks, they're going to go running, but they will eat their own. And a guy named Mr. Jones on TV, you guys are very, very much alike in so many different ways. But the last person I want to say is Natalie G. Winters, Stephen K. Bannon's sidekick. She went to college, I think, on the CCP. And I'll leave it there. But if you can get Natalie Winters on for an interview, she'd be a Naomi Wolf. So,
all righty,
appreciate
good.
You guys. Love you guys, and God bless your ministry. Take care.
Thanks for
Thank
calling.
You. God bless.
How much time do I have left there, Kenny? Okay, very good. Thank you. All right. I'm going to do one quick one, and then we're going to give an invitation. Arizona Republican Party declares COVID-19 injections biological and technical weapons, passes ban the jab resolution. So now here, the Arizona Republican Party is now the second state Republican to pass a ban. The jab resolutions declare COVID-19 injections. I think Florida was the first. Yeah. Isn't it Florida that was the first? Okay. Patriot Dan Schultz of PrincetonStrategy.com submitted the ban and the jab resolution at the Republican Party of Arizona. The Arizona GOP voted today and passed the resolution. It sounds like something we need to do in Ohio, for sure. They passed it with 96% of the vote. Boy, that's something. The resolution declares the COVID-19 injections to be biological and technological weapons and calls the governor to prohibit their distribution and the attorney general to confiscate the vials, conduct a forensic analysis. How many lives could have been saved? Just think how many had they done this earlier, right? I mean, we've all known about this for such a long time. In addition to being an attorney, Dan Schultz is a former West Point graduate and former U.S. Army counterintelligence and human intelligence officer. Mr. Schultz advocates the precinct strategy that seeks to wrestle control of the Republican Party back to the people. Previously, Dan Schultz submitted the ban the jab resolution to Maricopa County GOP. That county is owned by the drug dealers. I mean, the drug dealers, they have bought all the judges, bought all the prosecutors. On Saturday, January 13th, Maricopa County GOP passed the resolution with 87.4% of the vote, and a total of 1,494 votes were cast, 1,306 in favor, 188 against. Maricopa County is the largest Republican county in the nation. There you go, but it's filled with rhinos. Speaking of rhinos, go ahead, do the one on Mitch McConnell, Joe.
Oh, and Mitch McConnell. Basically, he is out there. I don't know that I have it, but I read the story. He's just going against Trump. He's trying to say that, you know, that Trump's cases against him are accurate, and he's doing everything he can to hurt Trump.
Okay, wait a minute. What did you say? How much time do I have? Okay, all right. We're going to have to stop, and we're going to have to go to it's that time. And here's the question about salvation. I'm going to read some quotes, and you guys can ponder. Ready?
Ready.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Who said that?
Jesus.
Right.
Jesus.
Okay.
John chapter 3.
Right. Verse 16 and 17. Huh? Yeah. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Ephesians 2, 8 and 9.
That was right, Paul. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Paul, Romans 10:10.
For with the heart man believeth into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. If you walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, all those things I just read to you, folks, and that's just a very few out of the Word of God. The Word of God is what spoke the entire universe into existence. There is no better explanation, never has been, never will be, of where we came from, where we are, and where we're going, than God's Word Himself. He was there in the very beginning. And so here's what He's telling you. Look, that song that said, so people ran out of tomorrows tonight, that's going to happen all around this world, but it doesn't have to. It doesn't have to, okay? If you call upon the name of the Lord, if you call upon the name of the Lord, first of all, recognize the fact that you're a sinner. And according to the Holy God, you deserve damnation. But if you pray to the Father, Jesus said, pray to the Father in His name. Ask for forgiveness of sin. Ask for your forgiveness, and God will honor that. And then call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon Jesus. Now, Jesus said, you got to put Him first. He's got to be first before everything. And if you'll do that, because He put you first when He took your place on that cross, you will become a new creature, a born-again believer, an heir of the kingdom. Folks, listen. God has said that. You've got God's word on it, right? And you will be indwelt with the Holy Spirit, and you will be on the road to eternity. Now you've got, again, like I said, you've got God's word on that, and it doesn't get any stronger than the Word of God. So,
you can call that road to eternity the highway to heaven, right?
Absolutely. It's the highway to heaven. And
it's
the road to immortality. That's right. God has said we can become immortal. That's right, folks. Again, like I said, this is what God is telling you. Well, we've come to that point where we come to every night at this time. And we give this invitation right at the end because that's the last thing we want people to remember and think about. When your head hits that pillow tonight or even before, you should go and pray to the Lord and thank Him for all the blessings He's given you this day. So until tomorrow, we say good night. We say
God bless.
Always, always, always
keep fighting
the
fight.
Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.